Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 14th of the year 2022. There remains 11 days till Christmas. Hopefully you have all your Christmas shopping finished. If not, there's a few more days left. Like myself, I'm only like a quarter in the middle of the process, right? A quarter way in. And there remains 18 days until 2023.
Wow.
That sounds unbelievable to me. Oh my gosh. So fast. It seems like the last 6 months just sped by.
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and this is live on WGH Talk, also live on Facebook. Also, we stream live on the web, which you can scroll down and get click on the black and white button that has the white arrow, and that's www.wwgh1071.com. Again, that is www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in during a live broadcast like this broadcast, okay? The number here is 740-383-9944. And someone mentioned to me, try to give this number throughout your program. So I'm working on that, okay? Pray for me out there. But sometimes it's nice to have your pencil and paper by your chair, by your coffee. That way, when I do give it, you can just jot it down in case you want to be a part of the conversation or ask any questions of my guest or myself. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee, location, Rue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, every third Saturday of every month, they have free produce. That will take place this Saturday, December the 17th. It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars. Please share this information with those you may know that need free produce. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. And not only them, but those of you who faithfully listen and support A Voice of a People, your comments I really take to heart, and I try to do better at the show and Facebook Live, but as I have said, I am the engineer here without a degree, so I'll do my best and kind of just bear with me. But please share this information with other people. You know, they may want to listen or be a part of the show. And I want to say thank you to my guests, my many guests that come and visit with me and share what they're doing in the community, and just being a part of A Voice in our community. It's years in. I just want to give a shout out to everyone who has supported me. Today, let me give you a thought for today. It's called Appreciate the Gift. When you open your eyes in the morning, sit for a moment and appreciate the gift of a new day. Create a peaceful thought and enjoy some moments of silence throughout the whole entire day. Now, if you can't start your day out with peace, now what are you going to start it out with, right?
That's right.
Now I turn my attention to my guest today, Heidi Jones, Executive Director of Marion Matters. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Miss Linda. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I made it in, right?
Yes.
I'm really appreciating the gift.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I try to make that part of my morning, having a routine, one that doesn't have me hear the alarm, jump up, and feel rushed. And so that's one thing that I try to do is reserve some time in the morning for myself. So that spoke to me today.
Well, praise God. Hopefully it spoke to a lot of other people
out
there. Yes,
I hope so.
No other way to start the day, right?
That's right.
Peaceful.
Yes.
Amen, amen. So how have you been since I saw you last?
Good. Things are rocking and rolling, both at Marian Matters and just in the world, I feel like. You had said the last 6 months flew by.
Yes.
I feel like this whole year, to me, is a blur. Here we are sitting at the end of the year, and, you know, we as a staff at the office, we try to reflect on what the year was like and what we've accomplished over the year. And we are just in awe by so many things that we've been able to do in 2022.
Wow. I know sometimes I pass by and there's cars like, what's going on at Marian Matters? You really have it going on for our community, and we so appreciate you and
thank you for your hard work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate the support. We, you know, we believe in the people of our community, and it's up to us to equip them with the tools and opportunities that they need to create whatever their successful future story looks like. And so it's an honor to get to do that here in Marian.
Wow. That is so powerful, Heidi, because it takes all of us.
It really does.
To create a safe and healthy, you know, community.
Absolutely.
It really does.
And give people space. I think that is one thing that we've really taken a look at in 2022, is being able to create space for people to feel safe and to feel heard. I think most of us, I think, want really nothing more in life than to feel safe and heard. And so it's been great to be able to provide that opportunity, particularly in the neighborhood where we are, for people to feel safe and heard.
That's good.
Thank you.
So who came up with the idea of Marian Matters?
Oh, gosh. So we're 12 years into the work that we've been doing here in the community. And really, Bridges Out of Poverty is sort of the basis of how we were formed. And Bridges just tells us that no matter if you grew up in poverty, middle class, or wealth, there are sort of these unspoken rules or cues, right, that go along with each of those environments. And in order to move from one economic class to another, it'd be important to know those hidden rules so that we don't break them and that we're able to move forward in a successful way. And that work, the Bridges work, has been around since the mid-90s, and we were fortunate enough in the early 2000s to have a judge here locally who heard about the Bridges work through the Supreme Court and was given an opportunity to attend a Bridges Out of Poverty workshop. And upon returning from that, this particular judge says, "There's a lot we need to learn in the community. I understand maybe why I keep seeing the same people across from me on the bench, as we're not speaking the same language."
Right.
And, you know, our world, our work in school settings in particular, are based on having an understanding of those middle class norms or cues. And often, lots of us, we didn't grow up understanding that, and so we might struggle. And so understanding where people come from is really the basis of the work that we do. And if it hadn't been for Judge Teresa Ballinger, the movement wouldn't have taken off here in Marian. She had the, I guess, foresight to say, if we embed this information into the work that we do, we can understand those that we're serving, and we can offer different paths to a successful outcome.
Right. It's so important. So important.
It really is.
That you can reach down where people are.
Yes.
You know, meet them where they are and at their level, you know, where you can help bring them up.
Yeah.
And it seems to have been very successful. I remember attending one of those poverty seminars that you had out at the, which is now the sheriff's office, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was Trekka then, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that
it was
building.
Nice. It was very nice.
It is. You know, and we were doing some number crunching just the mid-year, and we've had over 2,000 community members walk through one of those two-day Bridges workshops. And so that's 2,000 people who understand that there is a difference between the economic classes, and it's up to us to do our part to be able to communicate successfully no matter who we're working with. And so I feel like that's very much a part of our success, is people understanding and really utilizing those Bridges concepts in the work that they do as well.
Right. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
And I think, who started? Whitney Gurman. I'm thinking she has something similar out at the college, OSUM. on the second floor.
Something. I think Marian Voices, I think, or Community Voices.
Community Voices, yes.
And we attended that training as well, yeah.
Which was good.
And it works hand in hand, and that's what I love about the Bridges work. It's, you know, it's useful for anyone, and it can supplement other things that other people were doing. So once you go through Bridges, you can figure out the world. It's, now that I have these basic concepts, mm-hmm. what other pieces of information do I need to put this puzzle together to help me really do a better job with what I do in the community, connecting people, connecting resources, and ultimately giving people the power to advocate for themselves.
Power to advocate for themselves. That's what is lacking,
yes.
You know. And then along with that comes the encouragement,
yes,
and giving them a sense of pride about, you know, where they can go now and don't have to really sit on the bottom, but can be constructive in their own future and their children's future, because it's a generational thing, which we're learning more about generational blessings for our families. And confidence.
Yes, and that's what I love. So, you know, Bridges is the overall arching, I guess, principle of who Marian Matters is. But within our programming, the core of what we do is called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. And that is really geared towards someone who's struggling with instability. We're trying to move away from using words like poverty, middle class, and wealth, although we understand that that's sort of our socioeconomic classes. Mm-hmm. But those words sometimes can be polarizing. You know, think of the word poverty, for example. You've got many different thoughts on why people are in poverty. And so what we're trying to do is use words like daily instability, someone who's struggling with instability. That helps us meet them where they are and help them really look at what strengths do I have, mm-hmm. and how can I utilize these strengths to leverage resources to really build the weaker resources that I have in my life. And so Getting Ahead is that core program where we spend 10 weeks with individuals who say, you know, I might get up every morning and, you know, I take 2 steps forward, I go 3 steps back, but I'm still willing to get up every day and take the 2 steps forward. I've got to figure out maybe what these barriers are that are holding me back. Mm-hmm. And so Getting Ahead does that. It opens up their thinking. First of all, where are you when it comes to wanting to change? Do you want to change? Are you happy with where you are? And there's nothing wrong with that if you're happy with where you are. We're not one of those organizations that say, oh gosh, you've got to do X, Y, and Z and that makes you successful. We say, what is it that you would like to do, and how can we come alongside you, help equip you with the tools that you need to get to wherever it is that you want to go? And so a lot of the work with Getting Ahead, it's agenda-free. We as facilitators, we're learning just as the individuals, you know, that are they're sitting there in the classroom. Our goal is to simply make sure we get through the curriculum in the time that we're allotted to get through it. So we're there learning as well, and I think I love the fact we call it a kitchen table discussion. We're all sitting there you know, very casually talking about our lived experience. And I think that's one thing that I think we're starting to understand. There's so much value in lived experience.
Yes.
When you understand the path that someone's walked through, walked down, walked around, whatever that looks like, we have a better understanding of the full picture. And it's powerful. It's really powerful. And so that's really what I love about Getting Ahead, is being able to share lived experience, learning from each other, and then learning some new concepts that might help us work through any barriers that we have that are stopping us from reaching our true potential.
Wow. That goes a long way.
Yes, it really does.
You know, because some of us may be ahead, consider ourselves ahead of the game, but we're still lacking in some of those implementations in our life, like climbing the ladder a little higher if you want to be, if you want to do that, you know. Yeah. Where am I? Where do I want to go? Am I satisfied with where I am?
Yeah.
And what steps do I take to get there? Whether it's through Marian Matters and the concept of that program, or what can I do for myself?
Yeah. And one of the things that I love is the definition that we use to define instability. And it's the extent to which an individual does without resources. And that opens it up. I mean, so many people think people are unstable because they don't have money. But if people understood the hidden rules, they would know that money is looked at differently between each of the economic classes. And then, you know, over the years, we've thrown money at instability, and it hasn't changed instability. And that's because those walking that out, their kind of hidden rule on money is, when I have it, I'm going to spend it because I don't know when I'm going to get it again. So when we take the word money out of our definition and we describe it as the extent to which someone does without resources, we have room to grow. We can develop resources.
Right, right.
And I use this all the time to describe some of the work that we do. It's easy to say financial, you can identify a low financial resource. Somebody needs either a job or more money, and then they could get to, you know, whatever it is that they need to do. But when we look at developing resources, we look at people from all economic classes. And, you know, I use myself as an example. I would consider myself to be stable or middle class, and I still have things that I need to work on. My physical resource, you know, I could certainly walk a little bit more. I could exercise. I could change that physical resource to make me healthier, you know, mentally and physically, so I could develop that physical resource. And then you think about wealth and you think, gosh, wealthy people, they have access to money, to anything that they would want if they needed it. So if they needed to work on the physical resource, they should be able to do that.
Right.
But I always give an example of like Kate Spade or Robin Williams, wealthy people, but their emotional resource needed developed because they committed suicide as a means to walk through, you know, whatever it is, you know. So had they had their emotional resource strengthened, maybe that wouldn't have been the answer for them. So everyone at every level, no matter who you are, there's room to develop your resources when we look at it from that perspective.
Wow. And they were wealthy and still not happy.
Yeah.
So they needed to develop.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying, their emotional resources.
Absolutely.
That is so powerful. And I just did a show on suicide. I think it was last week.
Okay.
Because we also know that this is a high peak for suicides, you know. And I was wondering, even with the lady that was here, Annette Johnson, who spoke on that, because she has her stepson committed suicide and her ex-husband, like 2 years ago, committed suicide. So how do you reach a person, and how do you figure out the signals that they may be sending? They're subtle, but they're still signals, you know, and it's just hard to fathom that or digest the fact that it's emotional.
Yes. Yeah.
Their emotions is all out of whack, and they can't seem to bring them back into context. That is so powerful that you said that.
Well, thank you. I mean, we really want people to understand the work that we're doing, and it's not just, you know, for lack of a better word, pitying someone.
Right,
that doesn't help anyone.
No.
What helps them is giving them tools, right?
Right.
Tools they can have in their toolbox. When they get to a moment, they can look back and say, what did I learn in that getting ahead class that would help me move past this? And if I don't recall what that is, I've got my support team at Marian Matters. That's the other part of the work that I love, is that we don't just send them through a 10-week course and say, see you later. We're friends for life. You know, you're part of our family, and as you celebrate victories, we want to celebrate with you.
Yes.
When you stumble upon a barrier, we want to help you get over that barrier as quickly as possible so that you can get back on the track that you want to be on to change, you know, the trajectory for you and for your family. And so that support component is a huge part of what we do. Once individuals finish, and we don't call it the Getting Ahead class anymore, our participants have said to us, this is more than a class. This is an experience, and if you use the tools, you will change your life. And so we call it the Getting Ahead experience, right?
Okay.
And so part of that is just being able to connect folks, and the bonds that are formed during the time that people have together during Getting Ahead are just incredible. We had a graduation yesterday. We're doing Getting Ahead in the workplace as well as Getting Ahead in the community, and our workplace class graduated yesterday.
Okay.
And I got emotional. I cried during the graduation because when you see people like connect a dot where you can go, oh my gosh, they got it. Something spoke to them. their whole personality changes. They become confident because now they have something that resonated with them.
Right.
And they know that they can use that and apply it in their lives and change their situation. And we right. had so many cool moments yesterday in that graduation where this whole class, they really had those connecting moments during our time together. And it's just so cool to see them get to celebrate and feel, you know, that sense of accomplishment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then setting goals. You know, oftentimes people in poverty or struggling with instability, they don't have time to set goals because they're in constant survival mode.
Right.
I've got to get through today. Let me put this fire out and get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're able to do is help them kind of slow down a little bit, remove themselves from the situation, and think a little more objectively. How can I detach from my problem long enough to take a look and maybe plan for what could happen? And when that happens, people just, they really are motivated when they can detach for a moment. Just that moment, right? Because that's often all that they have. But that little recentering, so to speak, helps them view things a little bit differently.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful. Connect the dots.
Yeah.
Plan. Take a moment. What they call digress, right?
Yes.
Remove yourself from the situation. That is so powerful. No wonder that you're on this long life for Marian Matters because of the programs that have been set up to help people get up.
And it's fantastic. I mean, it's, you know, it's a joy. I look back at, I began my journey with Marian Matters in 2013, so I'm coming up on 10 years in 2023. And to look back at who we were, 2013, to who we're, you know, turning into and how far we've become, you know, it's just pretty exciting to see. You know, when I first started, I had a key to a building that was empty and a laptop.
Mm.
And, I had to figure things out.
Right.
And so it's been really cool to kind of make Marian Matters kind of what it is today by surrounding ourselves with supportive people. I mean, we couldn't do the work that we do without the local support. You know, we are proud partners of the United Way. Marian Community Foundation has been good to us over the years. And the Robert and Dorothy Wopat funds from the Marian Community Foundation specifically have been instrumental in a lot of the work that we do. But we have personal donors as well, and I would love to name every single one of them, but they have come alongside us, you know, for these last 10 to 12 years and have supported us year after year, whether it be with a monetary donation, giving of their time, in-kind donations, but it really is a community effort. And, you know, we've got the staff that's sort of, I guess, you know, charging the forge, but we couldn't do it without the support of our local folks, Ohio Health. Generations Realty, that's a group that I need to mention. For the last 2 years, they have supported the work that we do by giving to us quarterly through their internal, you know, processes. As they sell homes, a percentage goes back into the community, and we've been so blessed and fortunate to have been their sort of charitable organization of choice for the last couple of years.
Okay.
But they've been phenomenal. To us, I mean, not only do they send the checks, but they pop in just to check in with us. They bring us swag anytime we need it to give to our graduates, and they've just been a huge blessing. And of course, Pillar Credit Union.
Okay.
I can't say enough good about Pillar Credit Union. Where we're located at 810 Kenton Avenue was the Pillar Credit Union building on the west side for many years.
Right.
And in 2021, they gifted that building to Marian Matters.
That's beautiful.
And to me, that was such a testimony of the belief in the work that we do. I mean, to just give a building to an organization, that speaks volumes, I think, for what we've been able to accomplish. And that building has been such a gift, not just for us to have space, but we've been able to, I guess, have more opportunity because of the building. We're able to open our space up, have
right.
people come there for meetings, have the neighbors come. We host the Martin Luther King Jr. Park Neighborhood Association meetings in our Hope Center, which is what we call our building, the Hope Center. And that has been an amazing opportunity to hear from the neighbors. You know, we were in the smaller building that Pillar Credit Union owns for years, which
right.
now the Peace and Freedom Committee is in, which is exciting to have.
So they own both buildings. Okay.
So you know, we were in that building for a long time, but we couldn't open the space up. It was
right, it's
too small.
Small
and things like that. So for us, we had been in that neighborhood for a long time, but we weren't part of the neighborhood.
Right.
And so having the larger building, we're now able to be part of the neighborhood and be able to start building community and relationship with our neighbors.
That's good. And I've been working with Heidi on that Martin Luther King Community Neighborhood Committee.
Yes.
Okay. And we're just going to throw it out there. We have been working on this project that involves the West Side, because Marion Matters also is located on the west side of town. Yeah. I live on the west side of town, and we have a big problem on the west side of town. And I'm opening this up because the railroad opened it up in the Marion Star and saying that it was a federal, go ahead, this is federally funded or supported, and there's nothing we can do about the train traffic or, sanction them or, make them pay toll fees or whatever, how you ever want to, the terminology for that. So we've been working, trying to come up with a solution with also community members coming together and neighborhood members. And if anyone else has any ideas where this is concerned, we would love your input on that situation, because we had a meeting at Marion Matters in reference to this, and Heidi was behind the train. She couldn't even get there, so it is a problem in our community, especially for those who live in that area and those who are coming from New Bloomington, there's other little communities out that way, but people travel from out of town, Lima, Ohio, Canton, Ohio, coming down that same road, and sometimes they're stuck for hours and can't get around. So we also want to talk about that today, which is hopefully well on the way.
It's a big, hairy issue to tackle. But what we do believe is we've got to start having conversations, which we've had. And, I do want to celebrate the small victory, right?
Yes.
We met with both the city and county engineers, the chief of police, the fire chief, and they heard us. I think that was the biggest part, is they hear our struggle and they understand. And they didn't just shut everything down and say, well, there's nothing we can do. So one little step, or a first step for us, is our city engineer is looking at the possibility of at least getting cameras over on the west side for first responders. So basically how that would work, and what we're entertaining, and again, this is very much in the infancy stages, but our city engineer is working on this. Could we have the cameras up so that our dispatchers can see when the trains are blocking the tracks?
Right.
So when there's a call in for a first responder, they could let them know before they get sort of jammed over or stuck over by a train that the train is there and they might want to reroute and maybe give them an opportunity to reroute. So while that doesn't, solve all of us waiting there to get where we need to go, that's one conversation and one first step, and we're super thankful for that. But we're not going to stop there.
No, we're not.
Our follow-up with the city is, when do we think we can get those cameras up?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly can the dispatchers be trained on what they're looking for? And then when can we move on to the next step, whatever that looks like? We did hear from the rail commissioner that, putting an overpass over on that side of town would have its share of obstacles.
Yes.
Because it is a concentrated community, there are lots of homes there, and it would be super expensive. I think they told us between $20 and $30 million.
Yes, they did.
And so, that is a big number, but if we can continue having conversations and not give up, our goal is to revitalize that west side.
Yes.
And in order to do that, we've got to bring commerce in.
Mm-hmm.
Commerce would be, I would say, maybe a little reluctant to come over, because would they get the traffic that they needed based on the trains? Would people want to come over to patronize a business if there's the chance that they're going to have to wait on a train? And so in order for us to revitalize, we've got to be very strategic. We've got to both work on the train situation and identifying areas for commerce to come and set up shop. And I know that's something you've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
We've color-coded that neighborhood. We know where empty lots are. We know where space is available for investors and businesses to come. So it's part of the plan, right,
yes,
to revitalize. And we want that neighborhood to be what the neighbors think it should be. It's not me coming in saying, this is what I think we should have in the neighborhood. We welcome people to come to those neighborhood association meetings. And those are held held on the second Monday of every month at 6 o'clock at the Hope Center, Marion Matters Hope Center, located at 810 Kenton Avenue. If you live between Kenton Avenue and Fairground, the tracks in Fairground,
yes,
and all the streets in between, you live in our neighborhood, and we
yes.
want to hear from you. We can't even entertain solution until we've heard from the neighbors. What do you think the issues are, and how can we help mobilize any action to take care of that? And I will say, you know, in the first, we've been meeting for a little over a year now, and in that first year, we've been able to get streetlights fixed on one
yes.
of the streets.
Yes.
Ohio Edison owned the streetlights over on Lee Street. They were all either burned out or broken. And through this neighborhood association, we had made the proper contacts.
Right.
Those lights have all been fixed. So
yes.
that's the power of the people,
yes,
right?
It
when
is.
They get together
yes,
and
is.
Say, we can clean and you know, work on our neighborhoods all day long, but in the dark, things are happening.
Yes, they
and
are.
So those lights would be a deterrent. And so that was a victory that we shared. And then also
yes.
a crosswalk on Martin Luther King
Park.
On that park there.
Mm-hmm.
They said that typically the city wouldn't do a mid-street crosswalk, but that's where the parking lot was. And so our group signed some paperwork, did a petition, and we were able to get a mid-street crosswalk put in. So
right.
that was another victory that we've been able to accomplish by working together.
Yes, and didn't we
yeah.
get some fresh gravel over there as well?
We did.
Yes,
yes,
yes, yes, yes.
yes.
So we're making strides. It
yes.
may look like a small thing. And what really upset me about the West Side was how I heard city officials say that it was the depressed area of
yeah.
Marion, Ohio. Well, that's nothing, I think, to be proud of saying, well, this is our depressed area. Well, who
right.
wants to be depressed? You know,
nobody
we
does.
Want life, you know, and we want to be able to have resources in our area. Say if we
yeah.
can't, we're not going to count this out, but if all else fails, we need stores on that side of the tracks.
Absolutely.
I think there's enough people concentrated in that area. You have people coming from all over who have family. They travel back and forth.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the trains hinder us even being with our families.
Yes.
Well, I'm not coming out there because I always get caught by a train. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And what did one of the neighbors say, I think, at the meeting? On Fridays, they love to order Tubby's Pizza. And he and his wife would go together to get the pizza and maybe bring a pop or something with them because
mm-hmm.
they almost always had to sit in their car and eat the pizza because they were waiting on a train.
That's something.
That's wild. Those are things that if you don't, you know, have that struggle of a train in your neighborhood, you take for granted, but
right.
your Friday dinner, you don't want to eat cold pizza.
Right, right.
So it's those little things that we don't think about, but.
And that takes away the joy of eating pizza because you
right.
want to sit in your house, watch TV, put your
yes.
pop on ice, you know, open up that pizza. Oh,
yes.
That's,
yes.
you know, and we don't want to live like that. We want to have livelihood in our neighborhood. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
That's what we need.
And it didn't become depressed overnight.
No,
you know,
it did not.
What I would love to do, and I'm going to put this plea out there right now to the Center Street Community Health Center. They opened a market downtown, the Center Street Market.
Right.
We would love, and we've talked about this in our neighborhood, a Center Street Market West
yes.
that would be over the tracks and in our neighborhood. So if you're listening from the Center Street Clinic, please reach out. We would love to have a conversation on,
yes.
is that something that could happen? That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
It really would.
It's
But, you know, we have to work together to get
yes,
these things accomplished.
Yes,
and,
we do.
You know, it took years for that neighborhood to get depressed. And I would love to walk through an activity of putting together the timeline for that
yes.
neighborhood. When it started, when it was booming, when things started to go south. Because I think if we can put a timeline together and honor that neighborhood
mm-hmm.
in a different way, get those people to the table who lived there when it was flourishing, and be able to have a conversation so that we can understand what were the key ingredients to that success, and can we capture that again and bring some life back to the neighborhood?
That would be great.
Yeah.
I know there was a bar there on that diagonal corner
yes.
going down from Hawking Street to Center Street, and
okay.
there was also a restaurant on Edwards and Hawking Street, Miss Mary's restaurant.
Yeah.
And a lot of truckers would come there and order food. She was one of the best cooks in Marion, Ohio, so that would also bring traffic in
yeah.
that area. You know, the
yeah.
Ace High Club, that brought traffic in that area. So those things have always also gone. And I think
yeah.
there was across the tracks. There used to be a hotel there. It's all fenced in now by the five-stop drive-through.
Okay, yeah, over there.
In that fenced-in area. I think there was a hotel there.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that's people incredible. Would come. That's just my memory as a little girl, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was, a hotel. It was a big building. So as those things moved out, then, you know, people start going to other places for entertainment. Yeah. Restaurants, there's not even a restaurant over there anymore. Yeah. You know, she had a little candy store. I remember going there from church on Sundays, you know, or Saturdays. Snack time from Sunday school to church time. We used to go over there, you know. So those are little things, but they were big things.
They really were. And I think someone in the neighborhood said this, and I might butcher it, but I'm going to try to recall the way that they said it. It's, you know, at one time that neighborhood did survive off from all those mom and pop restaurants and shops and stores. And what, you know, we made the plea, we needed the malls, we needed the big box stores. And now here we come together saying, we need those mom and pop places back, you know. And so everything we asked for happened, right? But be careful what we wish for, right?
That's true.
We wished away that community belonging. That happened when we had those, you know, family-owned stores and restaurants.
Right.
They created a sense of community, and they were the staples
for
the success of our neighborhoods back
those
days.
That's
Yeah, so I would love to hear from anyone who grew up in that neighborhood who can recall any, you know, businesses on Silver Street, Kenton Avenue, or any of the streets in between. We'd love to hear from them and try to understand what it was like and maybe who owned businesses and different things during that time. That would be really neat to put that together.
Or a barbershop. We don't even have a barbershop over there or hairdressers over there. All that was going on in that side of town years ago, you know. Beauty salons was there, you know. The Menaces, they had stores on at least three different corners, you know.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to do that. And when the malls came, it was a booming thing. It was going all the way across our nation, you know. Malls here springing up. And, but, you know, it seems like that should not have removed, you know, those little neighborhood stores, but I think it's about traffic also. Where will people go?
Yeah. And that, you know? I mean, that's 100%. I think part of it is people don't see themselves being, you know, being able to maneuver that neighborhood easily, so they just bypass it altogether, I think, is part of the issue is I don't want to get stuck, or I only have 10 minutes, you know, when I go over there and risk getting, you know, stuck by a train on the other side of the tracks.
And you feel bad. Like, I'll be apologizing to people who come and see me. I'm so sorry you got stuck by the train, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I can't, I wish I could move it out your way, and they can't do anything about it. It's either way to turn around and go back the other way.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this.
Yeah.
It's a daily thing sometimes, you know. But I'm with you, Heidi, and I'm going to hang in there with you, and we're going to work together on this. And anyone out there who has anything to share, please share with us, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes, please
do.
Marion Matters. So we're getting low on time. So what's up for Marion Matters for 2023?
So, you know, a big growth spurt that we experienced in 2022 is with our Employer Resource Network, or the ERN. It is a tool for businesses who struggle with retention. And so we offer them a share of a success coach's time, and they work on-site in that business to help employees work through any barriers that they may have that could keep them from coming to work. So connecting to resources and things like that. So we hired two new coaches in 2022, and we now serve 10 businesses in Marion through our ERN. And so it is an ever-growing tool here for business. And as we move into 2023, we are recruiting businesses. So any businesses who find themselves sort of in that spot where they struggle to retain good employees because life happens, right? We have a tool for you. Give us a call, and we'd love to talk to you about the Employer Resource Network. Our coaches are phenomenal folks who have access. They're a direct conduit to a lot of the resources that are available in our community. So it lessens the time that it takes someone to get the resource that they need so that they're able to be at work right. and be able to be productive when they're there. So if anyone listening is interested in hearing more about the Employer Resource Network, call us at 740-223-2999, and we would love to talk with you about the solution that could help your business.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Marion Matters is on the move.
Yes, ma'am.
Still in the neck of our neighborhood. We're so thankful. Oh. I am. I really am. And I know other people, too, because you have touched this community in a way that maybe someone else could not have touched
it.
You know, because
yeah.
we all have our expertise and we all have a way of reaching people, but yeah. I thought that was a very unique way.
Well,
yes.
thank you. And we are honored to serve the staff, my staff. I can't say enough good about Michelle, Natalie, Corey, and Ryan. They're the dream team is what I call them. And we always say we're the little engine that could. There are a few of us, but we get some work done, and it's through the support and help of our community. And we couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to get to serve Marion in the way that we do.
But you are so driven. Heidi, that's why. I mean, you're about business. Let's get it done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We're not going to play with this. We're going to get to moving. We're going to get people moving in.
Yeah.
Your graduation, you said you have reached out to or helped at least over 2,000 people in our community over the extended length of time of how many years, you said?
So we're going into our 13th year coming up.
13 years, yeah. Wow. That's great.
And so those are people who've gone through Bridges Out of Poverty. Through our Getting Ahead program, 400 individuals and families. So that's a huge number, 400 people who feel more equipped to handle barriers that keep them from being successful. And they're on their way to a bright future story, which is super exciting.
That is great. That is so good, so good.
Thank you.
So what's in your future as far as personal? Personally, and what's going on with you?
So, let's see. Personally, I get to spend a week with my daughter after Christmas. A lot of people, I shared on my social media page my journey with my daughter. I am a survivor of domestic violence, and I had made the decision when I was 23. I was pregnant by my abuser, and I made the choice to create an adoption plan. And so I've been reunited with my daughter after 23 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We were able to meet each other in person this year, and we've been able to build relationship. It was an open adoption, and so I had chosen her parents, and I had gotten letters and updates and pictures, through her life until she turned 18. And then, you know, we've just been able to connect now, she and I. And so I went to Massachusetts, where she lives, in May to reconnect with her and her parents as well. And that was just an emotional time for me. And then she was able to come to Ohio in July and through August and got to meet some extended family. My dad, who's aging, got to spend some time with his granddaughter.
Wow.
And then she's coming the week after Christmas to spend the holiday with me. So it's been an emotional journey. I literally cry every day. For good reason. The 23 years have not been easy. Jesus and therapy saved my life. I say that all the time. But you know, those who are victims of domestic violence, it's a difficult time. And if you can move past that and be able to find some peace past that, it really is healing. And so for me, it's all about healing, building relationship with my daughter and my husband, obviously, too. And so we're excited about that for the Christmas season.
Right. That's I appreciate the shout out you gave also for domestic violence, because you know, COVID, that was also on the rise, and there was a lot more of that, maybe because people were closer together in one space, but that's still not an excuse to overstep your boundaries in someone else's life, you know, to physically abuse and verbally abuse a person. I feel like this, you know, if you're not happy, move on, please, hurry up. You know, just because who wants to deal with that? But there's so many of us women that do deal with that.
Yeah. And it's deep, you know. It's not just an easy fix and understanding someone's situation. I mean, it took me years to even admit that I was in a domestic violent relationship. And then when I was able to call it what it was, I felt like I could certainly heal on a deeper level. But being able to call it what it was and move forward has really been, and not to say that I don't have triggers that take me back to that time. I wouldn't be telling the truth, but
right.
But because of therapy, I've been able to manage that for many years.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, in Jesus, you know, praying and leaning in on scripture. I think in those early years after my daughter would have been born, I stayed with my abuser for another year, and it was a suicide attempt that finally got me out of that situation.
Mm.
And being able to,
on your part or you,
on my part,
oh my.
And being able to find God in that moment, and that has really been, you know, for the last 20 years, what has, you know, moved me forward in my life, particularly with my healing, was my relationship with God. So.
Wow, and that's a good, that's a big shout out to our Lord and Savior,
yes,
Jesus Christ.
Yes, ma'am.
He's always on the throne, isn't he?
That's right.
And he's
that's
there
right.
for us, praise God.
Yes.
I don't think I even knew that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something that I've not shared, obviously. It's not a thing that I, you know, I always say this too. As adults, we don't get to wear a badge that tells everybody what we've been
that's
through.
That's true.
As we build relationship and we feel comfortable, we share those
right,
aspects
right.
of our life. And for me, just being able to finally reconnect with my daughter was just what I needed to be able to talk about it openly with people. I mean, of course, my inner circle of people have always known, and they've been my champions to help me, you know, move forward in my journey. But being able to finally just this year be able to talk about it out loud with
wow.
people, it's another part of my journey to healing,
yes.
is being able to say, you know. And I think too, part of it is, you know, I carried guilt and shame for years. I was depressed. I, you know, struggled. I, you know, I had a hard time for these last 20 some years. But, you know, being able to say that I was able to put in the work,
mm-hmm.
To move forward, I think that's sort of kind of where I am now, is that,
right.
you know what, maybe what I've gone through would touch someone else in
I'm
their
sure.
life, you know, that, and if someone ever needs to talk, reach out to somebody. But,
right.
you know, I'm here to say that, you know, things happen to us in our lives, but they don't have to define us.
Right.
They don't have to keep us where we are. If we're willing to put in the work,
right.
we're willing to heal,
wow.
We can create a better life for ourselves.
Wow, this show yeah. was far beyond what I even expected it to be. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For your openness and sharing with us.
Yeah.
Heidi Jones, Executive Director of Marian Matters, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Merry
Melinda.
Christmas to you and Happy
you
New
too.
Year. And Lord bless and say the same. I'll see you the second Monday of January.
Yes, ma'am.
And we'll have work to do in between to get everybody invited. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that in a new year. But thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here live on WGH Talk. Thank you for your time and your dedication. The next hour, 11:15 to 12 noon, Jeff Porter will be here, author of Expressions of the Last Days. Merry Christmas to those of you who may not be able to listen to me until next year after your vacations, but thank you. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. Until next time, be blessed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.